This podcast is part of the Podcast Arcade Network.
Mega, making Eternia great again! I am Eddie, Prince of Daydream Destruction Manual and defender of the Podcast Arcade. This is Carl, my goat-kicking friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic microphone and said, by the power of podcasts, I have the power!
I have the power too!
Carl became the mighty Goat Kicker, and I became E-Man, the most podcasting man in the universe! Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Podcastress, Jeff at Arms, and Dorko. Together we defend the Podcast Arcade from the evil forces of boredom. Mega!
Welcome to a brand new episode of Make Eternia Great Again. I am your co-host, Jeff.
I am Eddie.
And today we are talking about somebody that gets so much shade.
Sure.
Deserved or not, we don't know.
Not kidding me.
He gets a lot of shade, but we're not here to kick him around.
No, we're I'm here. Actually glad that we got to kind of revisit this character.
Yeah.
But you gotta own some of the shade.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. I've given this guy a lot of shade.
Yeah. No, yeah, and we're going to continue
through the
that.
Years as I've matured.
Yes.
And wisdom has gone anew.
Sure.
I have learned to love this guy, this character.
Yes. And so, we're speaking of the one and the only Gwildor.
You know, Quills.
You know, I hope this isn't regarded as the mega jumping the shark moment.
What do you mean?
Where they're like, you know that phrase?
No, I don't.
You never heard jumping the shark?
I don't think so.
Jumping the shark is a term that's used for when a series has ran out of ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And so like and it's called that because in Happy Days, which is a, you know, TV show.
Yes, I love that TV
There's
show.
A scene in which Fonz goes on a like water skiing adventure.
I remember that.
And there's a shark. And he jumps over the shark.
Okay.
And everybody's like, yay. And he's like, ay. And he's in his leather jacket the whole time.
Right.
Water skiing.
Yes, I remember
and
that episode.
The show after that was a hot mess, apparently.
Yeah.
And then they said it quickly after that got, I think it went one more season and then they canceled it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So the point is, we're not.
We're not. No.
But Gwildor is a definitely off the beaten path
right.
kind of character.
He is, but he's not so off that people don't know who he is. Because, like, for example, right, how many people, I guarantee you there's some people out there, you say, okay, name all the characters of the evil horde.
Yeah.
And they're going to probably forget Dragsdor.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They're going to name Mantana.
Oh, yeah. You'll
Leech,
get Grizzlor.
Grizzlor and those guys. I'm like, I think that's it. And you're going to be like, you missed Dragsdor. And they're like, oh, who's that? You know, because there's certain guys out there that were still cool. But if they see him, like, oh, I remember that guy, but I don't remember him.
Except Dragsdor. Like you said.
Exactly. Dragsdor. I mean, there's a few of them out there that's like, you know, like the ninja dude. I can't remember his
Ninjor.
Name. Ninjor. That's right. I mean, like. I knew there was a ninja guy. Couldn't remember his name, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, but Gwildor is a dude who he's kind of the Jar Jar Binks of our generation.
He's the Jar Jar Binks of our generation.
He was the Orko that we deserved.
Well, and that's kind of where we can get into it a little bit with him. But before we get into that too much, I think maybe we start with him as in the comic.
In the comic, yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do that.
The comic.
Oh, my gosh.
Gwildor is in a comic. One?
So he had one.
One, okay.
One mini comic featuring Gwildor, and he was released because after the movie, which we will discuss, Mattel was like, well, we got to make a toy.
Yeah.
Because if there's any character in the film at all that deserves a toy, it's Gwildor.
It's got to be. Yep.
Which was an odd choice because, and this does kind of segue into the movie, but we'd be remiss if we didn't. We're saying remiss a lot, by the way. Like, did I just learn that word?
I miss saying remiss.
I know.
We're bringing it back.
They would bring remiss back.
We're bringing it back. We'd be remiss if we didn't bring remiss back.
Ooh.
Yes.
Remiss inception. I remiss so much of remissment. So with Mattel, they made Gwildor in the movie because, frankly speaking, they could not achieve making Orko.
Correct.
Technologically speaking. And they knew budget-wise to really make him even remotely believable, it was going to be prohibitive to them doing so.
Yeah. Yep.
Because Orko, per the comic, has no legs.
No.
He flies around everywhere he goes. And either you have a weird puppet on a string bonking into people.
Yeah, and just horrible camera angles and stuff like that throughout the entire show.
Exactly. Yeah, so for them, the technical reality of trying to have a character that would constantly be flying around was just easier for them to just make a different character.
Yeah.
I struggle with them doing that other than just making another character, like making Orko, just having him walk around.
Right.
I feel like that would probably have been a better decision.
I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Have him dressed the same.
I would have felt better to be let down that Orko had legs and wasn't flying.
Than a whole
different dude.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
But whatever, producers.
Whatever.
They're like, well, we can't do him. He's off the table. We're going to make a character who's different,
mm-hmm.
but who basically is kind of the same character.
Sure.
A bumbling character who wields great power.
Right, yep.
And so with all that, they made this character for the movie, and then they were like, well, we got to make a toy now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I, as a kid, it didn't even land on my radar, I don't think, because I was so put off with the movie when it came out.
Yeah, I hung it up, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Yeah. Exactly.
No.
So I was almost mad that they made a Gwildor figure. But now looking at it for what I did, I go, how confusing is that? Because now Gwildor was done as a replacement to Orko.
Right.
And now we have a toy line where Orko occupies that space, but we're going to make a character who essentially is another version of
Sure.
Orko.
Sure. Yep.
Because all we need is two bumbling morons mm-hmm. who can, like, one can rip open holes in time and space, and the other one can make giant pieces of fruit fall on Duncan.
That's right.
Do we need...
Yeah, so one's like a scientist,
yeah.
and then the other one's a magician.
A wizard.
But they're both good, but not good at what
bumbling
they do.
Bumbling morons.
Yep.
So they released this toy... And with all the toys that came out came a mini comic.
Right.
And so the mini comic for Gwildor does not feature anything from the film, why?
It's like low hanging fruit.
Why? Hey, he's chomping on a cigar. Hey, guys, listen, we've gone this far. We've not made anything line up at all. It's bonkers. Let's just keep it going. Ride it into the rocks. Am I right?
Floor it.
Gwildor. He's a cat. He's a cat that some guy dropped in the sewage and he mutated.
And he makes musical instruments that people confuse as synthesizers from Japan. And he breathes barbecue through his gills. And no, I don't know. I'm
He's
just
a
reaching.
Gerbil on Marlena Glenn's spaceship, and it got launched out, and it landed in the swamps, and it mutated next to Triclops.
It was a gerbil and a goldfish together.
Together, landed in some KC Masterpiece, and the whole thing. Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada
boom.
We're
out by lunch.
That's right.
Let's do this.
Do it. Make it happen.
Film it. It's gold.
Send it.
Shut up. So the comic comes out. It's very straightforward. Here it is. Basically, he is summoned by the sorceress.
What's it called?
It's called the Cosmic Key.
Okay.
The Cosmic Key, in which he is summoned by the sorceress to help E-Man against an evil foe. It basically sets up who he is. That's
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah. You know? It was almost like they had to.
Right. It was the obligatory comic. Once again, we said we don't have the Bible with us right now. Yeah. We need an office copy.
Gosh darn it. Why don't we just do it? I'm going to do it.
There's two copies between us.
I know.
We should have it here. Or at least one of them. But because he was on the tail end, we know that it's going to be the tail end of the comics. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say this. The art, in my opinion, as a person who's a big fan of He-Man and almost everything on some level, even the stuff that we don't like, we still like. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The art style of the comics as they began to reach the tail end began to be a little bit less good.
Yeah. They're just trying to get it out the door.
To get this thing out the door.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
I agree.
So straightforward story. Not a whole lot going on. There was just like, he's helping He-Man.
Yeah.
Ripping open doors with this cosmic key.
And so they're basically like, this is Gwildor. He's got this key. The key opens up doors. And then there's the end of the comic. So is it something kind of like that?
Exactly.
So who did he end up fighting against or anything? Do you remember? Or was it like he was lost or something, or what was the premise?
I don't have that that information.
Look it up.
Disposable. It's other media. Now we can talk about the film quite a bit, because that's kind of
sure.
where,
and we'll get there, but
where most of my or both of our experience lies, yeah. which is like 99% of his
exactly
thing anyway.
Existence, yeah.
But you know, we might do a quick fill in, like a little update to fill you guys in once we have the Bible in hand and we can actually read that.
Or
comic.
You can just look it up yourself.
Or look it up yourself.
Yeah, whatever.
Or look for me.
Or choose your own adventure.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Look for me when I'm walking around, because I blinded myself because I read it and hated it so much that yes. I triclopsed my own eyes out.
Oh my gosh, he's got a hot poker.
So worth it. I don't want to ever see anything again.
That's right.
And my only critique, but my big critique is, like, I wish they would have at least tied the film to the comic.
Yeah, they could. They should have. You know, I don't know why they didn't.
How cool would it have been to have, like, and maybe in their mind it was like a bit of canon, like, oh, hey, we can show how he started, but it's like, or maybe just like have him do his own little side adventure,
mm-hmm.
at least root him and have him like high five Triclaw or have him Mechaneck or something,
sure.
and like root him into some of the other stuff.
Interesting.
But anyway.
Either way.
Let's move on.
Let's talk
about the toy.
Let's do it. The toy.
Toy time.
Toy time. Toy time. Toy time. Toy time. Toy time. It's better than the French accent thing.
That's true. I don't want to kill that.
No.
People will be like,
I just, I know.
If he does that one more time.
The look on your face was so perfect. I just like envisioned like 85% of our audience was like, oh my gosh, if he says LaToya again, I swear.
I'm going
to
flip this table.
Either that or LaToya Jackson reference, I swear to God.
I'm
going
to fly a plane down to Omaha and just start flipping tables.
Oh, maybe we should invest in doing like really nice introductions into each segment.
Oh.
And then we just crash it all together.
Not just the Filmation xylophone. Just,
yep. Maybe we'll look at doing that.
Maybe.
I don't know. Stay tuned.
Some production value.
That's
stuff.
Right. We'll see.
But yeah, so the toy, he did not have an action feature.
Dude, he was a big, huge eraser top.
We joked, but he was a hollow body.
Yeah.
With arms. And with a heavy, chunky rubber head.
Oh, my gosh.
And
he
was
a freaking Happy Meal toy.
He's
That's
a Happy
all he
Meal
was.
Toy. There was some discussion. People had called Ram Man a Happy Meal toy.
Yeah.
But, dude, he's right there. Dude. If that's the case, he had to be hollow.
He had no action figure
piece. There was a reason. But, see, like, him being hollow was part of his action feature.
Yeah.
Like, where are the legs going to go, people?
That's true.
Physics. Come on. What are you doing to me? His legs have to go inside his body somehow. Yep. Even the 2002.
You're talking about He-Man.
I'm talking about
Ram-Man.
Ram-Man. Yep. Even the 2002 Ram-Man has a hollow body because his legs go up inside.
Now, why is Gwildor hollow?
Because they cheat.
That's right. And he has no soul.
Because he has no soul. You cut open a dead Gwildor and all that pours out is barbecue sauce. There's no bones. There's no muscles.
He's just that's what it is. He's an exoskeleton.
Exactly.
Just full of mutated barbecue sauce.
Full of thick, chunky barbecue sauce just comes oozing out. You're like, ooh.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't
that's so
know.
Good.
That would be, dude, that's what I'm doing. Swear to goodness, right here.
Okay.
I'm going to get a Gwildor because I've seen them before. I've passed over them.
Oh, yeah.
And I am
Are
going
you talking
to,
classics or original?
Original.
Okay.
Because he's hollow.
Yeah. Yeah. We had one at Carl's got one.
Yeah. 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 Well, I'm going to get another one.
Okay.
And I'm going to turn him into a barbecue sauce dispenser.
Yeah.
Yes. Look at you.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm
going to
make the head
good.
Removable.
Dude, we're going to get drunk off of Cobra Con whiskey shots.
Yes. We're going to drink out of Gwildor. Go.
That's right.
Go.
And they're like, oh, you know what this needs? More barbecue sauce.
More barbecue
Hand
sauce.
Over the Gwills.
Hand over the Gwills. You know what this needs? Some more Gwills.
It needs some more Gwills.
So the toy was hollow, and he came with a cosmic key.
Yes.
And you know, I will give them this on the maybe all of their work went into the cosmic key.
I think so.
But it for what it was, it didn't look too bad.
No.
Compared to the movie.
Wasn't it like solid red though?
The top of it was solid red.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And the rest was
but
kind of
But it didn't
gray.
Look like the key off the movie though.
But dude, that thing had so many moving parts.
But that's fine, but they could have just been like a solid piece that just had
like a it didn't unfold
it didn't have to do anything it could have had the little red top like that and then just make it like a cylinder
just make it look
but it's sculpt. Like well it has to hold in his hand then well maybe not maybe just be a necklace that
well,
had
give
straps
it the, give it the Mechaneck handle
yeah
or
something
just,
but
the
that
bottom
thing
of
it's like this is Cosmic Key no that's a grappling hook Holmes Like, that is not no cosmic key.
It definitely does not. I was going to give them the benefit of the doubt. It does. I think the thing that the actual weapon has an action feature where the top of it kind of like pops up.
Okay.
Like boop. Okay. You know what I mean?
That could be cool, but.
But that's it. I think it spins too. Yeah. Like spin it. Whee! That's again, all the money that went into that thing.
That's right.
But so otherwise the body is just feet, arms, and a body with a head on it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. So, and this is where even as a kid, I got a little bit kind of like put off by it because they rode some weird line between the original toys that we had and trying to make them look more realistic like the movie.
Right.
And so he basically looks like just ugly. Yeah. And you don't know how to take him. And ugly, not in the sense of like he's a ugly character. I mean, he is sure. an ugly character. Sure. But I mean... They didn't like fit the aesthetic to the other toys.
In the movie it worked though. You know, I mean that's even if you didn't like it, yeah, it was like it looked like a dude from that time.
He belonged in that universe. Fit. That's my point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is like they're like, okay, we are 11 minutes away from shutting this whole thing down. Steve, go over there, hurry up. Here's some clay, make Gwildor, you have 4 minutes, go.
Go.
And that's what we got.
Well, and it's like they didn't try to find some happy fusion of a cartoon and the movie, and here's what Gwildor would be. And as a kid, as kids, we already showed we would support this because the toys never looked 100% like the cartoon. So you don't have to break your neck to make Gwildor look like movie accurate.
Right.
But, I mean, the face sculpt looked more like the movie than it did a cartoon, a simplified toy version. So for me as a kid, seeing Gwildor's face look a little bit like hyper-realistic was kind of like, I don't know if I want that thing. And so, just not a huge fan as a kid. Now... nostalgia wise, I'm kind of happy it happened because it kind of like brings it all together in a weird messed up way.
Yep.
But as a kid, I was really confused. Brand confusion, I think. I just
really wonder, and I want to do a poll on this. I should do a poll on this.
Uh-oh.
How many children back then in the 80s actually went out to buy the Gwildor toy?
Exactly.
And then so it'll be option one is I bought that. Option two was, it was given to me.
Yep.
Option three was, what?
Huh? That was real?
Like, they actually made a toy of this? No. Because I really highly doubt anybody was a fan of that dude, especially after the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way I could see it happening is people were getting it for their birthdays and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Their parents were like, oh, here's another Motu.
I got you a He-Man.
Yeah, I got you a He-Man. That ain't a He-Man. That's a killer of my dreams.
That thing is a dream stealer. The thing that got me the most, around that same time frame, a movie had come out called, it was the Troll series. The horror movie Troll.
Okay,
and there was one that came out, Troll 2, where the troll is hiding out in an apartment building, and he has this ring that has a small hypodermic needle on it.
Oh, I remember that.
Sticking
yes, I remember that. Yeah.
And it turns them into these horrific troll-like mutations.
Right.
And this thing, Gwildor, looked more like he belonged in that universe than he did in what I understood to be the He-Man Motu universe.
Yeah.
So as a kid, there was a lot of imagery going on that I just wasn't a huge fan of.
See, that's what we got to do. Instead of the barbecue sauce, or this is just if we've given up.
Put a hypodermic needle in his head.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody ticks you off and is like, oh, ow, what was that? Nothing. They just look down, they see this little Gwildor sitting there like, what the hell is that?
You just got Gwildor. Then I run off.
I just got poked in the butt by a Gwildor. What the hell?
You just
run away.
You just
skipping.
Got Gwildored.
Just got Gwildored.
That's it. I want to basically go through medical school just so I could get a Gwildor and give kids like tetanus shots out of a Gwildor. Be like, there you go.
Oh my gosh, or a dentist. You're like, you're shooting Novocaine with a Gwildor. Like, what's... what is in my mouth?
It looks like a troll.
Why does it taste like barbecue?
The hop... Guys, I found that if you confuse the hypodermic needle with barbecue sauce, people take it in much better.
That's right. They don't catch on.
The drugs take on much, much better. So the toy was an interesting decision to make, period. But then when they decided to, what they went with was kind of a weird call. So,
yeah,
I mean, if you have one, and Carl, you know, co-founder of the show and occasional vocal host, has him.
Yes.
And he has him as a testament.
Yes.
To like
the whole reason why we want him.
Right. Just like he's bonkers.
That's right. He's bonkers. That's why. And the thing is, like I said, just through wisdom and whatnot, you know, and growing and maturing and stuff, I kind of like him now.
Yes.
I wouldn't say he's like a grail of any sort, you know, but he's definitely a guy that it's like, you know, if I see him again, you know, he's cheap.
If I see,
you know, I get him.
Gwildor's cheap.
Dude, you got all the Costners. Think of all the Gwildors you have.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, you could have salt and pepper shaker Gwildors. Ketchup and mustard Gwildors.
That's it. We're done.
That's all my condiments.
Stop recording. We're going to go buy some Gwildors.
All my condiments are going to be in Gwildors.
So with that, let's move on to the movie.
Let's move into the meat of this barbecue episode. All right. So we're going to do a new segment.
Not the cartoon,
because there was no cartoon.
Keep that at home.
That's right. We're going to do the first ever dun-dun-dun mega movie segment.
Ooh, the movie.
The movie. All right, let's slide into the movie. Get your popcorn.
Get ready.
That's right.
Get your 3D glasses on. maybe take them off, because you don't want to see this guy.
You don't want to see him in 3D.
No.
Like, oh.
Barbecue sauce squirting out of his cheek gills.
It tasted good. That's so funny.
That's funny.
Oh, my gosh.
So as we already kind of touched on, and we'll just kind of briefly just kind of set this up, the movie decided, the powers that be were like, we are not doing an Orko. For some reason, it seemed more beneficial to just make a whole new character than to just put shoes on Orko.
Right.
So they said, we're going to make Gwildor. And they basically wrote this whole character for the film, created a whole new race called the Thenurians.
Okay, and say that four times fast.
Thenurian.
Is it with an I or an E?
It's a T-H-E.
Okay.
N-U-R-I-A-N.
See, sometimes I think it's like they take Scrabble letters and put it in a sock and just start grabbing.
He's going to be called a Thenurian.
Thenurian.
Yeah, I like that.
What does that mean? We don't know.
Call him a Thenurian.
Call him the Norian. He is a Norian. Looks like a Norian.
I saw it as an ingredient in this sandwich I'm eating.
He looks like a teacher I had when I was a kid.
Mr. Thenurian.
Miss Thenurian. So
he's a Thenurian. So the idea being, he was played by Billy Barty.
Yes, who was awesome.
Who was hilarious and fun. Yeah. He was Noodles.
He's the only one that like pulled that out. Like,
I mean, he brought, this is where one thing, like, so the overall aesthetic of the character. So that's what we got. Like you said, we got the Orko we deserved.
Yep.
And we got Gwildor. And so I just, you know, as a grown man watch, as a kid, all I could do is basically be like, this isn't my He-Man.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like the Eddie Murphy skit with like McDonald's. Like his mom was like, I'll make McDonald's. That was kind of what this was.
That's right.
The pink dough of. And so as an adult watching it, I'm like, you know what? This is kind of charming.
Yes.
They're doing what they can.
Yep.
It was magical. His little hut, his little lair was actually kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
All these crystals everywhere.
It was like a Yoda lair kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Yep.
Almost like a hoarder Yoda, though. Sure. He had way more crap laying around his house. Did. Yoda was like a simplistic guy. He had like a bowl.
Yeah, he did. That's true. And a stick.
Yeah, he had a bowl, a stick, and his bed was a rock.
That's right.
Kind of like, stuck out.
I'm comfortable. I'm a minimalist.
My head hurts.
They called me Crunchy.
Crunchy. So as an adult rewatching this movie, now what? Has it been a year now? It's been a year.
Yeah, since we hosted. Hosted, yeah.
Yeah,
it's been
fun.
A year.
I'm appreciating especially Billy Barty's portrayal of Gwildor because he's funny.
Oh, my gosh.
He's quippy.
Great.
He's throwing out some kind of.
Every character he ever did was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that, no issues with it.
Yeah, right.
Just now that, you know, just getting there was kind of like, okay, well, we're here now.
Yeah, because if there was a Gwildor before, he would have killed it.
Oh, my gosh.
He did awesome.
We'd have been high-fiving.
Exactly.
But now we're trying to process why is he even here.
Yep.
But for that alone, him in the movie was actually pretty charming.
Yes.
He always had kind of a funny little one-liner to throw out. Even in the midst of like crazy crap happening, he would like say like some funny stuff.
Right.
They had like some really zoomed in, and the makeup was good enough.
Right,
for
but
the
if
time.
You got close, so you're like, what is going on
you
in
can
that
see
mouth?
The, you can see the eye. Yeah, and his mouth behind the mouth.
Yeah, the mouth and the mouth. Like, what? No.
He's over-pronouncing just to get thing to move.
Yeah.
And the scene that we've alluded to so much is when they basically realize they're hungry and they need to eat.
Right.
And they happen across a barbecue joint, which is where Courtney Cox's character
she works.
Is working.
And it's her last day.
Her last day because she's moving to the big city.
That's right. She's going to go move in with some girls. And
I got to get out of here.
Might date some guy named Chandler.
I can't stay. Oh, there you go. Exactly. And before she got to Central
Wouldn't
Park,
that be weird?
I know, right? That's
dude,
the canon.
Dude, it just crossed over.
Dude, she should have mentioned it once in Friends.
Wouldn't that have been great?
Like, at least the town.
Like, Dolph Lundgren comes, knocks on the door one day, and like, just reminding you, keep it quiet.
Exactly.
Good journey.
And walks off. And ooh.
She's like, I know him. Kevin was a jerk.
Exactly. The guy's in the corner. This baby's from Japan. That's I've seen this before. So.
Sorry. Man, that'd be cool, man. Like a whole like. I'm sorry. My brain's just going like crazy right now.
We've lost
like,
Jeff. He's gone.
Yep. Courtney Cox and Friends was actually... No, I'm sorry.
So, but the scene is like they're all eating these ribs.
Right.
Hiding in the bushes.
Correct.
And Tila doesn't know what this is. She thinks it's good, but she doesn't know what it is. And she's like, "What? This is really convenient. They put the food on these white sticks and yeah. Man-at-Arms, so without missing a beat, is like...
That's not sticks. Those are ribs. Those are rib bones. Those are rib bones.
And she's like,
what?
Disgusted.
Like, this came from an animal?
Yeah.
He's like, what? And then she's like, ugh, gross. And he's like, tastes good to me. And then like Griller's like, it tasted good.
Yeah. You know? And then he starts drinking.
Yeah. He's like drinking the barbecue sauce.
And he gets it all up. I wonder what the makeup people were like. He's like, going to do it. I can see he's going to do it.
He's going to do it. Oh, my gosh. Like,
And he has it all over.
Yeah, it just goes right down.
I think 90% of it just runs down his chin.
And then he's probably like choking inside of his mask.
And then we're right. He's dying in there. There's a scene in which he holds his nose. Yes. No, that's with the water.
That's when they first kind of like come to Earth and he jumps out.
Lands in the pond.
Yeah, and it's like caught in his gills.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like that and sprays all over everybody, which is funny. And then He-Man's like, that's funny.
Yeah. Stupid. Come on, Orko. I mean, Gwildor. Whatever. Walks off.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
But, and this does kind of go back to the toy real quick. But one thing, too, that I wanted to mention that I didn't was that they have come out with a classics edition.
Yes.
Of Gwildor, which actually probably looks way more like the movie.
It does,
in his best hero style. You know how they different,
right?
His hero pose or whatever. He looks more like the Gwildor than the McDonald's version toy, of him. But anyway, what I was getting at with that was, for what the story they were telling, he actually ended up working out.
Yeah,
because he was like this quirky, funny enough character that kind of brought some humor to the scenes, and
I mean, if you watch it as an adult, as a movie, not going into it like, hey, I grew up with this,
this better hit these notes.
It's actually, it's campy goodness.
Yep.
And it's fun.
Yep.
And it all ties together. Yep. And there's great, for the most part, 90% of the people in it were great actors. You know, so you could tell it had a little bit of a budget issue from time to time.
Yeah.
But it was good. You know, I just watched it like a week ago again with the kids and stuff. And I think it's on Amazon Prime now.
Okay, good.
And so I saw that. I'm like, oh, guys, hey, look. And they're like, yay. So we all huddled around the TV and we watched it as a family, you know, and it's great, you know. But again, the more and more I watch it as an adult, the more and more I get over the fact that it was garbage as a kid.
Right.
You know, I think we were just so like astounded that it was so far left of everything we were doing.
Thing.
It was. But
I said it so much I was like, you guys have to understand. Like, you hear a lot of these nerds go on about Star Wars. And to me as a kid back then, Star Wars, I was born in 77. So anybody who's like our age, who's 40 and up.
Right.
Well, not 40 and up, I guess.
Like 40 to 46 or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yep. Was probably a little bit too young to truly like soak in Star Wars as a new thing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We weren't probably closer to 50 now.
If
anyone is 50 and older, they are going to have a memory of seeing Star Wars when it was new.
Right.
So for them, they had that wow factor of like, man, everything up until now sucked compared to this.
Yeah.
And so... But we were born into it. So, like, we literally don't know a world. I mean, I've said it before. Like we have children who don't know what a world without Harry Potter looks like.
Correct, yeah.
You know, so for us, you know, even Empire came out in, like, what, 80... like three.
83, I believe. Yeah. Or 82 or 83, I think. Yeah. I think it was 82, actually. Because yeah. then I think...
Because Jedi came in
85.
Yeah, 85. Yes. We were like old enough to remember it.
Yep. Yep.
So,
yeah,
like,
I saw that in the theater. So.
Right. And they were showing the other ones. But my point is, like, at least psychologically or just whatever, Star Wars was around when we were born.
Sure.
So He-Man was, for me at least, and I can't speak for everybody, was one of the first things that we got to see it show up.
Right.
You know, it was our thing.
Yeah.
Like, my parents liked Star Wars.
Sure.
My mom and dad were like, heck yeah, Star Wars is awesome. Mm-hmm. But, like, they didn't even know what He-Man was. So it felt like it was mine.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yep.
And so I feel like when you see that happen and you're in it, you know, you can picture riding, you know, Battle Cat. Dude, we would make swords out of like wrapping paper tubes and like around the house and sword fight. And so you're completely in it. And then you hear they're going to make a movie and you just, your little brain can't even like comprehend it.
Right.
You're just like, what?
My favorite
what?
Thing is going to be at the movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and all you can draw off of is the toys.
Yeah.
The comics.
The cartoons.
And the cartoons.
Yeah.
And so you're, and really at that point, the comics were kind of a great little add-on, but because TV is so TV, you know, the cartoon kind of, I think, kind of overwrote a lot of that stuff for the younger fans.
Sure, yeah.
And so we were thinking like, okay, I want to see this and I want to see that and I want to see this. And then you go in there and there's basically none of that.
Right.
And I think as an adult, you're way better at kind of recalibrating and being like, okay, so this is going to be different.
Yeah, because you can understand more. You know, like as a kid, you're taking in information.
Yep.
You know, as a man, as an adult, as a woman or whatever, you're able to process and say, okay, it's probably because of this. And so, and again, because of that, like, I remember when I was watching this last time, I was like, I really believe the reason that this movie, like, we always like, oh, the budgeting was bad, this was bad, da, da, da. It all comes down to the fact that they went backwards with this whole thing. Now, Star Wars started correctly.
Yep.
We want to do this movie.
Yep.
Here's this movie. It's a script. We thought it all out. And then they decided to do the toy line to help promote the movie. And then they went on from there.
Yep.
You know, this was so, I mean, the movie was an afterthought.
Yep.
Like, I guarantee you when they were thinking of those toys, there was never a discussion of we should do a movie someday.
Nope.
You know, I mean, that's what they should have done is like, hey, let's pool our money together. Let's do a movie and do it just like Star Wars. But they didn't. They're just like, we're a toy maker. You know, this is what we do. We got to make these toys. And so, and because of that, they came out at the wrong time with the movie, not enough money. They didn't have a story behind it correctly. And so they're just like, okay, now we're screwed. So I honestly feel bad for the writers that were put in that position because, you know, when Lucas wrote Star Wars, he wrote Star Wars.
Right.
You know what I mean? He didn't go into it like, okay, I'm really restricted because these people want this and this and this and this. And he had all these, you know, his hands are tied and everything. He just wrote a great freaking story.
Yes.
You know, and with this, it's like, here's some toys. Here's the cartoon. Here's the comics. Check it all out and then come up with something.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, we have $11 million or what's that? $1.5 million, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, what? You know, exactly. So because when they first started off with the movie, they're like, okay, we're going to do Buzz Off in there. We're going to have She-Ra. We're going to have Stratos. We're going to have... And they had this great script and it sounded excellent and it was all on Eternia and stuff. And then it was like, by the way, your budget just got cut down to 10% of what it originally was. And they're like, okay, this needs to be done over in our hometown, you know?
Yep.
And we got to do it shoestring budget style. And, you know, so again, I mean, it all happened the way that it happened, you know, and they did the best that they could with it, obviously, you know, but whatever. Yep. I feel like we're doing like a whole episode on the movie
on
here.
The
but,
movie itself.
Right. But
it does tie to why Gwildor even happened.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
And so as an adult, when you see all that and you kind of know that, and frankly, when you make anything, and we've said this a million times, if you're going to judge something, fine, but also understand that there's other things at play than just that thing.
Sure.
So like when you have gone off and you've been in a band for a good clip, or you create comics, or you do your own art, or you do podcasts, or you make a movie, or you make anything, write a play, or even design custom toys, you know, once you've done that a couple times, you're like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, yeah. I understand what happens when you have a vision and then you have to start making compromises, or otherwise you just, nothing will get made.
Right.
If you're like, I have a vision, we have to compromise it. Not making it then.
That's right.
I'm out. You know, I'm taking my Gwildor and going home.
That's right. Or you can be like Axl Rose and have the spaghetti incident, you know, where you just work on it for 19 years and I need to make the perfect thing. And then it finally comes out and it's just horrible.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So like knowing all that, watching it now as a grown person, you're able to appreciate that.
Right.
As a 8, 9, 10 year old, you're sitting there holding your He-Man figure like, let's do this. Right.
Yeah. Cause I remember there was a big argument on one of the Facebook Motu sites that they were arguing of, you know, there's some guys who are just like, no matter what, they're not budging. That was a horrible movie. And it'll always be a horrible movie to them, you know.
So their feelings were hurt as a kid and they can't let it go.
And they can't let it go. But then there's other people who are like us who were just like, you know, I didn't care for it because it didn't have A, B, and C in it. But as an adult, I get it. And I'm just kind of glad that it happened. Yep. And then there's the other ones that it was like they were 4 when it came out and they went and saw it in the movie theater. And that was their first introduction into He-Man. They loved it.
Yeah. Because there's nothing to compare it to.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so I love those people.
Yeah, I know. They're more
because
fun.
It's the best thing in the whole world to them. And it's like, why is everybody dogging on it?
Because they went and saw the movie. Exactly. Then they saw the cartoon and reruns. Then they saw the toys and it was just like more and more of the thing. Different still, but they weren't like, this is garbage.
Right.
Like,
yep.
The movie was very much kind of like bare bones.
It was. Yeah.
And that's what, yeah. I mean, yeah. When you say it goes from 11 to 1, was that the budget?
I think it was. If memory serves me right. Maybe it wasn't 1, but it shot way down. It cut down by like 10%.
Yeah. And you said, I remember you also saying like the final scenes were filmed in like an open warehouse.
Yeah. It was like they had like no electricity and stuff. And it came out of the money came out of the pocket of the I think it was the director at the time.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, we have to get this finished. They pulled the budget on it. We're 99% of the way done. I want to finish this, you know? Yeah. And so he paid to get it finished, you know, they put it out, but
there it is.
Yeah. Whatever. But either way, I mean, It you know, as an adult now, I like it. I like Gwildor.
I do too.
You know,
in a weird way, as we've
I would
teed
much
off.
Rather have Gwildor in my pocket than Modulok.
Yeah. Just kidding. I'm not putting barbecue sauce in Modulok.
That's right. No way.
No.
Gosh, he's already got barbecue sauce and it ain't good.
It's nasty sauce.
It's Tennessee. No, I'm just joking.
But yeah, Gwildor. You know, what would you do with a Gwildor? Would you fill him full of ketchup?
He's a shampoo bottle.
Is it? Yeah, exactly. Saline.
It could be whatever you want.
But yeah, I'm glad he was there. You know what I would be interested to see is that there would be like another version. And I think with the classics, they did the Cosmic Key more intricately done.
Yes.
I don't know what you were talking about.
Yeah. Now, but let's take that to another level, though.
Uh-oh.
This is something.
We're going to make a real one?
That's what I'm saying.
We got to go to Japan first.
I want in my hands a real Cosmic Key. It doesn't have to do anything.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't have to spin. It'd be cool if it did. Oh. It'd be really cool. Maybe even just light up. You know, that'd be all right. But what I'm saying is, whoever could make a replica of the Cosmic Key, I think you would be a millionaire.
That thing, you know? I wonder how much that thing costs for the budget. Did they blow their budget on the Cosmic Key?
I don't know. They had to spend a pretty good clip on it.
Because that thing rotates.
Cool. It
like
is.
The little arms
and they're all
come
perfectly
out,
rotates and it all comes back down.
Yeah.
I mean, because I guess there's two of them.
Okay.
That, well, obviously in the movie, but there's two of them. And then one is in, I think they said it was like the Smithsonian or something like that. Or it was in something, some big museum, maybe not Smithsonian, but it was some big museum that's like really well known. And they put it in there because of whatever reason. And then I think I'm trying to remember who owns it. It wasn't Dolph, but it was like, I think it's maybe it was just the director or something like that. There's some, or I don't remember. Sorry. My memory sucks.
No, you're fine.
I have a lot of children that I have to remember a lot for.
Just barely alive.
I'm barely alive. My brain is just like gone. But it was somebody like one of the actors, I believe, actually.
Someone owns it.
Owns the other one.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So at least they didn't go with the garbage, you know.
You wonder if that was, and just knowing how, like, you know, how movie magic, whether that thing was self-operating where you push a button and stuff happens, or if it's kind of like they put a power drill on the bottom of it and spin it.
It looked like it's self-operating.
I would think so.
Because they're holding it in their hands when they do it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's just like a drill.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I picture a guy off to the side holding a power drill. Like, but either way, like you said, even if it just lights up.
Dude.
And plays music.
I want in my hands to hold a full metal cosmic.
Oh, metal. Okay, like, now we're getting next metal. Level. We gotta.
I mean, kids, like when you watch that movie, I could just feel it. Yeah. Like, I don't know about you, but I could just always imagine feeling that thing, just feeling all the keys on it all smooth and everything. And like, just it like clicks in your hands. And yeah. Oh my gosh. Please give me a cosmic key.
I will pay
solid American dollars for a cosmic key. Not Randors.
No Randors?
No Randors.
Man.
I'm fresh out of Randors.
No merman heads.
Maybe.
I would settle for one that just played music even. If it looked wicked
cool.
Wouldn't
that be cool?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool if it's like an MP3 player or something like that?
Yeah, just played cosmic key music.
It's got Bluetooth.
It's got black tooth. Triclops comes in.
That's right.
Somebody call.
Somebody call the black tooth.
The black tooth went off.
I got that. Hey, it spurts out Mountain Dew out of it. It's great.
Where's the sweet tea? Come out. This thing. You said it got black tooth.
Oh my gosh.
Like you said, the cosmic key, I agree. It has a, it's a cool device.
Yeah.
Like, well, and what I liked about it, and this was one thing that did kind of stoke my imagination as a kid, was the cosmic key was this thing that allowed my brain to be like, He-Man could come into my world.
Amen to that.
You know, it was the device. And not only did it go through time, it went space. It went through time as well, apparently.
Yes.
Because he used it to time travel.
Correct.
When they sent her back.
She went.
Yes. Yep. It was before. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen this movie yet.
Shame.
Hit pause. We're sorry.
She sent back to avoid a thing that happens.
Yeah.
So, Gwildor.
Gwildor.
Procrustes, bless your heart.
That's right.
Love you.
Look what you created.
I mean, your toy is abominable.
That's right.
I would have rathered Orko had been shooed.
That's right.
Like literal shoes on his feet running around. Hey, He-Man, I got feet.
That's right. Your comic is marginal. But
now that we got you.
We got you. That's right.
If you can't love the Orko you wanted, then love the Gwildor you're with.
That's right. Oh, man. That was very prolific.
Thank you, buddy.
That was very good.
What do you tune into this show for other than philosophical
sound advice? There's somebody that I just pulled over right now who's weeping. It's like, I know.
I love the Gwildor.
I'm so sorry.
I
like barbecue sauce, too.
It's so good. I feel so bad.
Oh, man. Totally worth it.
Black tooth.
Well,
I guess with all that, we'll put a pin in this.
Let's
be sure to like, follow, subscribe to Make Eternia Great Again, please.
And share.
We would be, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say remiss.
Don't say it.
I'm going to remiss it. The Last Starfighters Entertainment Group. Yep. Be sure to look those gents up and all of their affiliate individual creations. It's a super fun time, and you won't be sorry. I can promise you that.
That's right.
Also, I would also be out of line if I didn't tell people that right here, right now, available now on Amazon is the most recent book series from the writer Carl D. Smith, Moleb the Giant.
Yes, please check out Moleb the Giant. It is a fantastic book. If you've never read anything by Carl, and first off, for those new listeners that don't know, Carl is one of the grandfathers of the show, and
yes,
he is still on the show. He
yes.
just comes in. He's a busy dude.
Yep.
Comes in as he can.
He's kind of the Gwildor.
Yep.
The
he's
show.
Kind of, yeah, that's right. Yeah. In a way. Yeah. He's got his own cosmic key.
He
blasts in whenever he can.
Shows up, blows barbecue sauce
that's
around,
right.
and then
he's,
leaves.
He's got some Facebook live videos that he does from time to time.
Yep.
Carl is an excellent, excellent author. He has got a number of books out there. So many children's books and, you know, fictional books that teenagers and adults can read. And I mean, you name it. And the way that this guy writes is incredible, because like, I know some authors who they write well, but mm-hmm. then they have to take it to another, what do they call it? Not a ghostwriter, but they take it to somebody else that basically spiffs it up, that makes it look more professional and it's better written.
Yeah.
Carl doesn't. He does it himself.
Yep.
And it is legit.
Yep.
Like he's banged off ideas. He's like, you know, I'm kind of thinking of this thing here real quick. And then 15 minutes later, I'm sitting there like cooking hamburgers in the kitchen or something. And he sends over like, this is something I was thinking about. What do you guys think? And he sends over an epilogue, and it's like full-on amazingness. Yeah. And I'm like, holy crap, you just whipped this out like on your phone. Like, yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So again, we're going to keep beating this down. But Moleb the Giant, look it up on Amazon. I think you can get it on Kindle for $9.99, I believe.
Yep.
It's a paperback book if you want. It does feel good in the hand.
Feels good in the hand.
$15.
Yep.
On Prime. And fantastic book. Dude. Fantastic.
We, full disclosure, we've only read the first couple of chapters because we got some advance access to the story. And as you said, and I'm just going to end up repeating a little bit, but I mean, he's done things. I'm a big fan. He had a comic book series for a while called Be Careful What You Wish For.
Yep.
And it's basically something like life as viewed through the eyes of an adult human. Once you've kind of gotten to the point where you thought as a child you would have accomplished your dreams.
Right.
And it sounds depressing, and it's not really. It's kind of in a weird way sweet and sobering in a way.
Yeah.
So, but that's what caught my attention at first. It was actually his writing. He wasn't my friend before I saw his writing. It was when he started the Goat Kicker podcast, which actually you should listen to as well.
Yes.
But the Goat Kicker podcast was out, and I had started reaching out to him as a listener. Was like, hey, he'd ask questions, I'd answer back, and before we know it, we started chatting over the phone and really or over email and hit it off and started like talking more. But the point is, like you said, probably one of the best writers, period, that I can think of. I mean, forget like even like, oh, compared to, no, I mean, the guy has a great way of telling a story that sucks you right in.
Right. It's just a matter of time until he explodes.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah,
he's going to have a New York bestsellers list.
You know, I think it's probably
there.
This one. To
it
be
could
honest.
Be.
I
yeah.
mean,
it's
so,
fantastic.
So check it
so
out.
So Moleb, and just so you understand, it's spelled Moleb.
Yep.
So mother, otter. I'm not good with those.
I'm not either.
L as in.
I'm trying to think of a He-Man
lemur.
Person.
yeah, we do all He-Man.
Yeah, it's all He-Man.
So merman.
Optic.
Optic, very good.
Who's L?
Oh my gosh.
We played this game on Dim.
Did you?
Yeah, we
That's
did.
That's pretty fun.
L would be Leech.
Leech, very good. E as in
Eternia.
Eternia. And B as in
Beastman.
Beastman, there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
There. That's Moleb fun. The Giant.
Moleb the Giant.
And so with all that being said, thank you for listening. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share all on your various podcast machines. And until next time.
Good journey. Mega.